Well, as I said, we are beginning a series on the Holy Spirit. We talked last week about the fact that the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, really isn't something that many churches spend a great deal of time on. And there are a number of reasons for that. It's because the Holy Spirit's not really easy to understand. There is not a great deal in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. God the Father is throughout the entirety of the Old Testament in detail. The power of creation, the miracles that take place, all the way through from Genesis down through the Old Testament prophets, all proclaiming the Word of God. Of course, the New Testament, the first four books detailing the life of Jesus, God the Son, and Paul writing, and Peter, and so many others that contributed in how we're supposed to live by virtue of the life that Jesus led and what we recognize and learn from that. But God the Holy Spirit, outside of the second chapter of Acts, really isn't a great deal there. And so because of that, there have been many different thoughts and many different directions that churches have been taken on, and some of them have not been good. There's been abuse of things. When we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about those down the road as well, there's been abuse of that. Because when those things happen, people come. People are interested. They're excited to see those kinds of things that we don't normally see. And suddenly, the church, rather than embracing the things of the Holy Spirit, is more concerned about how many people they can get into their building. And see, that's just not what's important. God doesn't care how many people are in a gathering of believers. The Bible says two or more, he's present. He's in our midst. But there's something about the Holy Spirit, though, that is unique. It's not different because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are three in one. And I've shared this with you. How do you understand that concept? It's not easy to understand. It's hard to explain even. The closest I've come to this, and I've shared this in the past, I am a single person, Dave Dorado, that's me. But within me, I am Dave Dorado, the husband. I'm Dave Dorado, the father. And I'm Dave Dorado, the pastor. All three of those things are separate, but they're equal because they're about me. That's about the closest I can come to explaining that's what the Trinity is. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Separate, but equal. And that doesn't even come close. See, that's why Paul says in the Bible, right now we see things darkly, but there will come a time when that veil is going to be lifted from our eyes and we're going to know everything that we need to know. We're going to see the beginning from the end. See, that's how we were created originally. How do you think Adam could name every single animal? That's a big job. There's a lot going on. I mean, he'd be sitting there going, do I already have a lion? Did I already name that thing a lion? You know, it's all those things. Gotta remember. And so the Holy Spirit, though, is a gift that God has given us. And so I want to begin to talk over the next several weeks. I want to teach you about the attributes of the Holy Spirit. The attributes. Now, what does that mean? Well, an attribute is a quality. It's a characteristic of someone or something. And any words that we use to describe God, I can tell you now, they're very pale in doing a good job. You can't describe God. He's indescribable. So the best we can do is to use words that we understand that kind of get us in that direction. We talk about the hand of God moving. God doesn't have a physical hand, but that's the closest we can come to understanding what that means. You follow me on that? So when we talk about characteristics of God, these are human characteristics, but it helps us to be able to understand more who he is. Because to do that, to recognize the attributes of the Holy Spirit, means that we can better understand how he works in our lives. Now, first thing I want to do is I want to give you a foundational definition of what the Holy Spirit is. Because it's from this that we will then build everything else. So this is our baseline. It's a very simple, powerful truth of who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit was given, remember, he's given by God, and came to guide those who believe into all truth. That is the focus and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He was given and he came in order to guide those who believe, that's us, Christians, into all truth. This is what John writes in verse 13 of the 16th chapter. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, what's the question then that you're asking? What's the truth? Very simply, it's the truth found in Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Everything comes from that. It's the truth that we find in Him. It's the love of God the Father. It's been demonstrated and carried out in the life of Jesus Christ, and it continues here now in each of us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, everything that God does is in totality. God never does things partially. So it's God the Father, through God the Son, and now in the presence of God the Holy Spirit. And my friends, I can tell you this, you should recognize that we are in desperate need of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Amen. We desperately need Him. We desperately need to be demonstrating who He is. See, that's how people recognize who Jesus Christ is. It isn't because you blast them with 45 verses from the New Testament. It isn't by the fact that you can show that you've had perfect attendance at church since you were a zygote. I got $5 for anybody who can tell me what a zygote is. Anybody know what a zygote is? My man, there we go. Boy, I wish I had my wallet with me. I'm really... You know that. All right, I'll buy you lunch next time. That was just... That's what I get for exaggerating, see? That's just... See, all of those things, though, that we talk about that we think are so important, those things are not what is important. The most important thing about your testimony is how you live. That's it. That speaks the loudest of everything. And by the way, it isn't in how you live when things are going well or going easy. There's nothing to that. Everybody is a nice person when things are going well. I want to see how you are when things are not going well. When it's not your fault, and yet it is just raining down on top of you, how do you act then? What's your response in those moments? Do people see Jesus Christ when you are just really getting the short end of the stick? And see, that's what my desire is for us as a church family, that every single one of you are growing in those things so that when your life is just nothing but a dumpster fire, nobody can tell. Unless you choose to tell them and to share it with them, because your attitude, your actions are glorifying God. Does that make sense? That should be the goal of every Christian. How do I live my life every single day to His glory? So when Jesus told the disciples, I need you guys to hang out in Jerusalem. I'm about to go back to my Father. This is just prior to the ascension. After the resurrection, 40 days, Jesus Christ is walking among people, so they saw that He was alive. He brings the disciples together to the Mount of Olives. He says, boys, I'm heading out, but you need to stay in Jerusalem. You need to stay there. And it was 10 days that they were waiting. Remember from Pentecost, 10 days, because He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. I'm going to send you someone to help you out. I'm going to send an advocate for you, someone that can show you how you're supposed to go, how you're supposed to live. But you see, the disciples, if they had not listened to Jesus, they never would have accomplished what He had called them to do. They needed the Holy Spirit. They needed to be changed from within. These are the same guys that after Jesus was resurrected, they're still pounding the same drum that they had been for 3 years. So, Jesus, now that you're back, you defeated death. Now we're going to get rid of the Romans and we're going to bring the nation of Israel back. And I can almost see Jesus going... Guys, He didn't. That's what I would have done, but He didn't. They still were having trouble recognizing what was the purpose of Jesus' ministry. It wasn't to come and to throw the Romans out. It wasn't to come and to set them free from the shackles of another government. It was to set them free from the shackles of sin, just as He's done for each and every one of us here this morning. So when we look at the Holy Spirit, the names of the Holy Spirit throughout the Scripture help to tell us what He is. He is the Spirit of God. He is the mind of Christ. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Comforter. He's power from on high. And one other thing the Bible also tells us is that He is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father to you. Amen. It's given to you, just as our salvation is a gift from God. Salvation that sets us free from sin, that promises eternity with Him, that same gift is present with us every single day. The first attribute of the Holy Spirit I want us to look at this morning is that He is immutable. Immutable. I-M-M-U-table. T-A-B-L-E. Immutable. To be immutable means that you never change. The Holy Spirit never changes. Listen to what's written in an introduction. This is a sermon that was preached by Charles Spurgeon. Some of you know that name. C.H. Charles Haydon Spurgeon. He was the great British mid-19th century Baptist preacher. He was called the Prince of Preachers. He's one of the three great influences in my own preaching. This is what was written. It says, immutability means that God is not subject to change through time or circumstance. In His nature and in His character, God is absolutely without change. In God's essence, attributes, consciousness, and will, He is unchangeable. And you see, this is what the author of Hebrews writes. And if you're looking for scripture for this, Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 8 is what we're looking at this morning in essence. It says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That's what I was just talking about. So that your faith may be imitated by what you do. Then watch these words. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, wait a minute, thought we were talking about the Holy Spirit. We are. But the same attributes, the same elements that make up the Holy Spirit are the same of Jesus and the same of God the Father. They are three, but they are all in one. And you see, the fact is, God, even in three persons, He cannot change. Watch what I just said there. He cannot change. See, but the action of change means either you're getting better or you're getting worse. That's what change is. I'm not staying right here. So I can change, and something, you know, it's funny. It's by the way people talk to you about this is how you can tell. You know, I can go, wow, geez, Pete, you've changed. Well, that's not a good thing, is it? That's not, gee, you've changed. Or I could say, wow, Jane, you've really changed. Just by the tone of my voice, you can see one's good, one bad. So when you change, you're either moving forward or you're moving backward. It's either getting better or it's getting worse. But you see, God is perfection. He is perfect. So His nature must always be and remain perfect. I like what A.W. Tozer wrote about this. I think it's easy to understand when you consider these words because he uses a contrast. Here's what he says. The immutability of God appears in its most perfect beauty when viewed against the mutability of man. The immutability of God, you contrast that against the mutability of man. In God, no change is possible. In man, change is impossible to escape. See, that's the difference. And when you're trusting and relying on somebody to do something and they don't do it, that's a change. When you're asking someone to do something for you and they agree and they want to come next to you and they want to stand with you and you're counting on them doing this and then they don't. That's the mutability of man. But you see, when we recognize that God is unchangeable, that allows you, my friends, in every single circumstance to put your faith wholly, totally, completely in Him. Because He's never different. He never changes. That means every single promise that's been written in the Word of God is true. Just as it was back in the Old Testament, it's still true today. The same power that parted the Red Sea, the same power that raised people from the dead, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, yes, his son, Jesus, that same power is the same today. Amen. And see, we have so many Christians that are walking around looking like beaten puppies. Just, you know, man, life's just beating me down. Every place I turn, I'm getting smashed in the face, and then I turn over here and I get kicked, and now I'm laying on the ground, somebody ran over me. That's how I feel all the time. And you know, I go, That's not the God I serve. And I don't say that because I'm some big, strong. I got knocked down pretty good 4 weeks ago. Now, I didn't know where that was going. I didn't know what was going to be taking place. I still don't. It's why I wear this thing here. So you got my little thing here. Dave keeps going, can you get the game on that? Can you get? No, that's not what that is. It's just. So I didn't know, but I'll tell you this. When I was lying in that hospital bed, 4 o'clock in the morning, I haven't slept in over a day and probably a little bit more, and I'm feeling kind of cranky, and I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? There was not one second of fear. And again, folks, that's not because of me. That's because of Him. The Holy Spirit brings the confidence for you to be able to live every day, even though you don't know what the circumstances are. And I can tell you, your prayers have meant more to me than I will ever be able to express. I've got a doctor's appointment later this week, and I'm hoping that she's going to tell me some good things, and hoping this is my last week of no ball, Dave. But, you know, I mean, whatever it is that God brings, you know, it's up to Him. But if I don't trust that, if my life suddenly becomes where, you know what, God, I know how powerful is, I know how great You are, yes, I read all those things, but, you know, I'm not sure You can handle this in my life. This might be more than what you might be wanting to deal with. Really? Because is that not what we say when we embrace worry, when we embrace fear? When we embrace those elements of our emotions that the world grabs onto, if I'm worried about something, there's only one thing I'm saying. God, You can't handle this. My friends, how dare we? How dare we? And yet we will then go and we'll talk to people about what they're dealing with, and we'll go and we'll say, hey man, you got to have faith in God. And I think many times what the Holy Spirit is saying into our lives is, yeah, what about you? What about you? You say, Pastor Dave, man, you don't know what I'm dealing with. No, I don't. I don't have to, but He does. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God that sent birds to feed the prophet Elijah, the same God who was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same God that was there with Daniel in the lion's den, the same God that was lying with me there 4 weeks ago when I didn't know what my future was. See, that's the God that I worship. And I want to encourage you this morning to come to that place where you begin to say, God, there is nothing that's going to bring doubt into my mind of who You are. Because even if it's tough, even if this is something that I am not enjoying, and let's face it, folks, that is the way life goes. There is sin in the world. The enemy right now has a bit of a leash, and it's going to get longer before it gets shorter, so don't be caught off guard. But what does that mean? It just simply means I trust Him more. I believe what the Bible tells me. I know that everything that I'm walking through right now is for the best of my life according to His purposes. Can you get to that place of saying that, of believing that every day? The psalmist also speaks of the immutability of God. This is Psalm 102, 25 to 27. It says, in the beginning, You laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded, but You remain the same. And Your years will never end. My friends, again, my prayer is that when you read or hear these words, they're not just words. They're not just something that you go, yeah, that's really good. But in the midst of the storm, He does not change. The immutability of God causes great fear, but it's fear to the wicked. It's fear for those people that don't want to trust Him with their life, because that means that God is true to His word. You can't bargain with Him. You can't talk your way out of something. All right, truth now. Be truthful. How many of you ever been pulled over for a ticket? You talked your way out of it. Well, that does not surprise me at all, Gina. Three or four? You're going to have a master's class on this for us at some point, so. I mean, let's face it. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can talk your way out of a lot of things. But you can't do that with God. You cannot talk your way out of God's truth. You can't. And so that means that when I am going to live my life in a way that is against the Word of God and not pleasing to Him, there's consequences for that. You don't talk yourself out of that. That's because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And see, again, my friends, that is what God has given us. That's what God's given us, to be our helper, to be our comforter, to be our advocate. I think I shared with you, did I not, or did I run out of time? An advocate is actually a legal term. You know that, right? In the original languages, it had to do with basically, it's a lawyer. This person speaks to the judge on your behalf. You see, that's who the Holy Spirit is. He speaks to God the Father on your behalf. He comes before God on your behalf. Those things that I do that I should not, Paul says. Those things that I should be doing that I don't. He goes before the Father. And see, again, that's why for me as a Christian, it's very hard for me for any real length of time to be really overly concerned about things that are going on around me. Do I care? Sure, I do. Do I want things to be right? Yes, I do. But if things are coming apart, if everything's going sideways, I don't embrace the fear that the enemy wants me to hold to. I'm not going to be worried about it. I'll do what I need to do. We may use our minds, use those things God's given us, but He's in control. Can you have that kind of peace in your life? It's available to you, but you got to be willing to step aside. You got to get out of the driver's seat. You know my car, right? I've smashed this thing into a tree more times than I can remember because I'm the one behind the wheel. When I step out of that, I come to the place then of recognizing that God knows what I need in my life. One last thing and then I'm done. God's immutability is and should be a constant comfort to us in all times because He's faithful, always. His promises and His principles. There's another name in the Bible for God that you don't often hear. Some songs you do. It's found in Deuteronomy 32:4. Where it says, God is the rock. Now, this is a long time before Dwayne Johnson, all right? So, he stole it, all right? That's not what we're talking about. You see, God is called this because when the entire world around us is seeming to fluctuate, where it's being shaken, when it's mutating from one form to another, just like we're watching every single day, it seems, we're seeing these things that are being promoted. We're seeing the perversions of life being held up as a shining example of the great quality of our people and who we are. See, in the midst of all of that, God is the only solid, firm foundation that can be our anchorage. He's the anchor that holds us in place in truth. Because again, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He brings the knowledge of all truth to us. So what that means is that for each of us this morning, the Holy Spirit of Acts, the second chapter, is the same Holy Spirit today. He's the same one that brings signs and wonders. He enabled the disciples to heal the sick. And I think about that and I go, God, what an incredible way to serve You, to be trusted with the power of the Holy Spirit. See, and I want you to be trusted this morning by God. I want you to be living a life that He trusts to give you something that others may not be able to handle. And see, again, it's never about you. It's about Him. Everything that takes place is to the glory of God. And it's available to us today because He never changes. But why do we see so much less of that? How many of you ever witnessed a genuine miracle? A miracle where it just... Yeah, not many. Very few. Why is that? Is it because God changed? Well, obviously, no. It's because we have. It's because man has changed. It's because we've turned our eyes in on ourselves and we're not desperate for Him anymore. We're desperate for comfort. We're desperate for ease in our lives. We're desperate for just everything to be as easy as it can possibly be because the minute it gets tough, now I've got to find something else to do, and now I've got to find another way to be able to get through this, and we turn to all those things except the one that can actually change it for us because He's never different. But we've allowed it. The church has allowed those things to change. because we do not preach with conviction the word like we are supposed to. We become so much more concerned about what are they going to think about what it is we're doing here. Can I tell you, church, I don't care one bit. There's only one thing I care about. What does he think about what we're doing here? That's the only thing that matters to me. You say, well, what if somebody says bad things about you? And what else? What else you got? That's not going to do it. You say, what if people are saying bad things about your church? Well, once again, I believe that we're all on the same page with this. I believe that we have all at some point, if you've been to church, have been to a place where you're going, this doesn't seem like they're doing what they ought to do. And see, I'm not suggesting we're perfect, but I do know one thing. We're never going to stray from what the Word of God says. We're never going to compromise. We are never, ever going to back away because we might offend somebody. I don't ever want to offend you, but if I do, it's not me anyway. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that's doing that. So listen. Do yourself a favor. Listen when the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. That's what we're going to talk about in the weeks to come. I want you to, again, recognize, how do you tell the difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the enemy, and your own voice? Because all three of those are talking to you. All three. How do you tell? See, that's what I believe it means to be a growing, learning, maturing Christian. Is that, man, when I just hear the slightest whisper of the Holy Spirit, I'm right there. My ear is locked into that because I don't want to miss one thing. I don't want to miss one place that I'm supposed to be. I've heard it said so many times, man, you don't ever want to lag behind God. Yes, that's true, but I also never want to get ahead of him either, because that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you out of step with the Father. My friends, you do not have to live that way. The power of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of you is there to reveal all of the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the truth of your word this morning. I thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit is present with each and every one of us right now. And God, I pray that if there is anyone here in this room, anybody, God, hearing the sound of my voice online, that has never surrendered their life to you, this would be that moment. To just simply say, Father, I acknowledge I'm a sinner and I need you. I need Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I surrender my life. Help me, God, to live for you every day. Please forgive me of my sins. Help me, God, to turn away from the things that are not of you so that others may see you living in me. Father, I thank you for every family that's represented here. And God, as we continue to move forward and desire the things of the Holy Spirit, may we recognize, God, that you want the very best for us. That you're patient, you're loving, you're long-suffering. And God, so many times I think we believe that if we make a mistake, if we just stray off a little bit, that you're not going to want anything to do with us. God, what a lie the enemy is telling us. Your love goes beyond our comprehension. You have a greater love for us than we could ever understand. So may we rest in that. Father, I pray your blessing over each and every person here. Go with us, Lord. As we leave this place, as we go about our week, as situations come up, the good, the difficult, may Jesus Christ be seen in every action, every word, every way that I respond to your glory and to your honor. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, folks. Thank you so much.